In this episode, we speak with Garrett Stephen, Managing Director and Co-Head of Origination and Structuring at First Eagle Alternative Credit, a credit-focused investment manager with $21 billion of assets under management, $5.7 billion of which is invested through its direct lending platform focused on private equity-backed U.S. middle-market companies across various industries. Garrett became part of First Eagle in 2020 upon the firm's acquisition of THL Credit, which he had joined in 2012. Previously, he worked in the restructuring group of Lazard's investment banking division. Before that, he specialized in corporate turnarounds and restructurings across a variety of industries at CDG Group, a middle market restructuring firm. First Eagle Alternative Credit was recognized as one of the top private debt firms of 2023 by GrowthCap. I'm your host, RJ Lumba. We hope you enjoy the show. If you like the episode, click to follow.
RJ Lumba is the managing partner of GrowthCap and the executive chairman of Market Insight Media. He is the host of Growth Investor, a podcast featuring today's best investors, executives, and founders. In the minutes ahead, we'll uncover insights and strategies for accelerating growth and succeeding in business.
Garrett, great to be with you. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thanks, RJ. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So this is a little bit unique in that we typically have on the show private equity firms, managing partners, as well as entrepreneurs. We don't as frequently have credit providers on, debt investors. So would love to hear about First Eagle, its origins, and what you particularly focus on.
Yeah, happy to. First Eagle Investments is a $130+ billion asset manager. We were founded back in the 1800s. Really think of that as a mutual fund company. And since then, we've really grown into a multi-pronged asset manager. So think of global value funds, small cap funds. We've recently launched a municipal high yield bond team. And part of that strategy, because of how focused we are within the retail landscape, is really having the ability to provide passive income to our investors. And part of that was the launch of the alternative credit strategy. So First Eagle Alternative Credit is a subsidiary of First Eagle Investments. Myself sits within that $21+ billion entity, which is a subsidiary of First Eagle Investments. And the roots really go back to 2007. I think it's important to really appreciate where we were historically. So in 2007, THL Credit was launched. THL Credit was a debt affiliate of Thomas H. Lee Partners, big private equity firm here in Boston. And we grew and scaled that entity from a couple $100 million of capital into $17 billion. And when First Eagle took a step back, they were really looking for an asset manager to really grow and scale their AUM on the credit side. And you know, back in 2017, they actually acquired another Boston private credit lender called Neustar Financial. And with that, they really got their first foray into it. But they said, you know, if we really want to turbocharge the growth, we really want to bring over a team. And that really was the reason why they pursued heavily the THL credit team, which I was a part of. I was with the team since 2012. And that's really what started First Eagle Alternative Credit. So right before COVID hit, funny enough, back in February 2020, we got acquired. And ever since then, we've been able to start, you know, we started out at $17 billion. We got acquired, we've grown to $21 billion. And we're really excited about the growth trajectory of the ability to tap into the retail investor base of First Eagle Investments. First Eagle Investments has a really large distribution channel. If you think about distributing a retail product on the mutual fund side or, you know, a small cap, there's a really big team that goes behind that. So when we were at THL Credit, we were really more focused on institutional funds. And we still use that as our core bread and butter. But we really do like the supplement, as you'll see in the broader private debt landscape. And you're starting to see private equity firms do this as well with respect to giving retail investors the ability to have alternative credit or alternative equity exposure within their portfolios. And that marriage between THL Credit and First Eagle Investments has been wonderful thus far. And we're really excited about the growth prospects over the coming decade.
Yeah, the scale that you've been able to achieve over the last, you know, decade plus has been phenomenal. And as you had mentioned, it seems like it's a combination of acquiring other entities, but also having a team to organically grow the portfolio. What do you think really enabled you to catalyze that growth organically and continue it through the years? What do you kind of pin it to as the kind of key strengths of the team?
Yeah, if you look at just the senior team have invested over multiple decades, if you think about a manager, whether that be private equity or private debt, the ability to have the investment parameters focused and institutionalized to be able to say, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to play offense when potentially others are playing defense. And I think when you look at and go through the transition period back through the Great Recession, when THL Credit was launched in 2007, and you look at the period of time around COVID, you know, there's other idiosyncratic forces that happen between those periods. But the ability for us to step into a void and fill that void with our capital and being able to have the investment experience and expertise institutionalized enabled us to really accelerate that growth. So I think if you go back to 2007, when really it was more of just BDCs were being formed or had been formed, and there was a lot of growth in that channel, there was more of the commingled fund structure that was growing. And our ability to go from, you know, just a BDC into a commingled fund structure and really grow into a multi-pronged asset manager with a bunch of different vehicle types that would really satisfy the needs of our LPs really played well. And I think what our investment reforms have held up through those periods. So when an LP says, you guys have put our money to work in the right periods of time and they've generated good financial performance and you've done those through stress periods of time over multiple decades, that really resonates. And I think coming off the back of COVID as well, where potentially some others were retrenching and really focused on their portfolio, we were doing that as well. But because of our infrastructure, because of our senior team that's worked through multiple decades, we actually saw periods of opportunity to say, wow, this is a really good business. Things are potentially trading down or people potentially aren't entering this because they don't either have capital or they're focusing on their portfolio. That enabled us to really be aggressive and be able to take an offensive approach. I'd couple that with, as you've looked at the strategy just more broadly, we really spend a lot of time, you know, as you speak with a lot of private equity firms, we spend a lot of time with the private equity firms and understanding their story and appreciating what are they trying to do with that business. Because at the end of the day, we want to help them grow and scale those businesses. And I think when you look at growth just broadly, you can have organic growth, you can launch the, you know, bunch of different funds, but underlying those funds, you really have to put the investments into those funds and make sure that they're one, solid and performing, but also growing. And when we look at it, we say we can do an initial platform, but we can also do a targeted add-on strategy alongside our private equity firm relationships and help them buy and build those businesses really dramatically. And I think if you look broadly just within the portfolio, where we really like to play is those buy and build strategies, focusing on those sectors that folks really like, you know, healthcare, technology, business services, financial services, and really helping those private equity firms grow and scale those businesses. And, you know, it really enables you to deploy that fund more appropriately, help scale and increase that organic growth within the business, but also help you get to that next fundraise because one, you're growing and scaling the business within your portfolio. They're returning strong investment performance for your LPs, and it's benefiting your clients on the private equity side where they're trying to execute on their own growth theses, which has been really beneficial for us overall.
Yeah, this is fantastic because you're hitting on your partnership approach when you view kind of your role, your integral role amongst the private equity firms as well as the companies and management teams. And we try to, with our kind of show, try to help companies understand the benefits of working with different capital partners. So how else would you highlight how you've helped kind of bridge two parties? You know, when you're focused on helping a company scale, is there kind of an example you could provide to us?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of examples, and I think they all follow some core tenets, right? At the end of the day, the main relationship point for us. So First Eagle Alternative Credit is really focused on 100% sponsor-backed businesses. So the first thing that we look for is a private equity firm that we can partner with, that we can develop a strong relationship and bond, where we can help grow and scale those businesses. So the core underwriting tenet first is, who is the private equity firm? What is their value creation plan? What are they trying to do with that underlying business? Because at the end of the day, we're providing them capital to execute on their value creation plan. We have our own investment heat maps and theses that we want to make sure align with those private equity firms that are looking to make an investment, but we also want to make sure that when we come in, we're not slowing down growth, we're helping turbocharge the growth. So that's number one. Number two is the private equity firms have been, in many cases on the growth side, have been developing and strengthening relationships and bonds with management teams over the course of multiple decades. You know, some of these businesses or deals transpire over decades, right? They may have met someone 10, 15 years ago. They may have been slowly growing their business. The entrepreneur wasn't ready to sell. And then finally, they hit an inflection point and they said, I've got it as far as I can get it. I just need a little bit more capital, but I'm a little bit tapped out and I just need someone to help me out. And it's really important to understand who's the management team. What are they trying to get out of it? And in many cases, we've seen those management teams say, I created a really strong business here, but maybe I don't want to be the CEO. Maybe I want to be the chief product officer. And I'm going to step away and I'm going to help create more institutional structure because there's a lot, right? Managing culture, managing talent, managing operations. So there's a lot more things when you're a nimble organization and moving into a potentially a multi-billion dollar organization that needs help and wants to be bought. Things need to be considered there. So the management team is super important for us. And I think, you know, to your point around an example is we always focus on what is the end market? What is the industry? What are the tailwinds? Who's the sponsor? Who's the management team? And putting that all together and saying from a credit profile perspective, how do we view this more broadly? And I like to say, you know, we kind of hit on it before a little bit, but the platform is really the story that you're just starting, right? The story starts somewhere and it's going to end somewhere. And in many cases, a private equity firm may hold the business for 1 to 2 years. They may hold it for 10 years. You know, and one example of a business that we financed back about 10 years ago. It's gone through two transitions with private equity firms and we've stayed involved with that those private equity firms. And I think it's important to note that as each one of those transitions happened along the way, the management team and that private equity firm were looking for growth capital to help scale those businesses. And they were doing a lot of add-on activity. And we came in and we provided debt capital to continue to support those businesses. And every time it traded, basically the management team had a really good working relationship and experience with us. And they said, you know, we'd love you to stay in it. And we were able to basically maintain involvement within that transition period over, you know, two trades, which enabled the management team to have consistency and fluidity with respect to their debt partner. And I think sometimes you get into, you know, an auction process or you're really looking at a company you really like and it can be hard to potentially kind of differentiate yourself. And I know there's a lot of other providers of capital out there, but I think when we take a step back and say, who's the management team? What can we do to help them? And I think it's really that flexibility, the ability to be nimble, the ability on the front end to say speed and certainty to close is super important to be able to help that private equity firm win that mandate. Those are all important characteristics to us, but it doesn't start and stop with just the transaction on the front end. It continues to go after the fact. And I think on those buy and build strategies, it's really important to look at and say, how many different ways can we support and grow this business? It may be debt capital. It may be, hey, there's someone in our network, right? We work with a lot of companies, both on the liquid side, as well as on the direct lending core middle market side. And there's different ways that we can help bring people to the table, whether that be someone that we know that could be an operating partner, whether that be, you know, operational enhancement projects that we've seen that have worked in other businesses and lessons learned. I think the benefit of our platform is we see a lot of flow and we see a lot of transactions and we've done a lot of investments. And it's really important to take a step back in those situations and say, what is lessons learned? We're not going to run the day-to-day. We never want to run a business. We just want to be good stewards of our capital and provide those in the right situations. But I think it can help. And what we've found on the front end is if we've encountered a situation that maybe the private equity firm or the management team hasn't, and we provide that advice, and they can take it into their calculus when they're creating their value creation plan and keep that top of mind, which has been really helpful because it does hit on that partnership approach. It's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. And we both try to benefit each other because it really is more fruitful that way for everyone.
And when do you typically enter the relationship with the company? And is it always through the private equity sponsor?
It depends. You know, there are certain situations where we'll know the management team directly just because maybe they reached out before they were going to sell the business and they said, is there a way for us to get some additional growth capital ahead of a sale? Because we have a couple of these add-ons, we're not ready to sell, but we feel like you could be helpful to our business. And in those situations, we need a private equity firm involved. If you look at the alternative lending universe, there's a lot of folks that may focus on non-sponsored and sponsored. We lean more heavily towards that sponsored channel. But with that being said, I do think it's important to note that it's not one thing. It's a kind of like a multiple process to look at. And the private equity firms are the ones that we kind of encounter the most frequently. So sometimes they reach out direct. Most of the time, it's the private equity firm has a relationship or the auction process is going on. And then at some point in that process, we meet the management team. In other cases, we have a portfolio company that is in the space. And then you're potentially doing diligence on similar type businesses. And you're maybe doing some expert calls and you get introduced to a management team through that way. So it comes in many different flavors, but really to build that relationship, you kind of have to get to know them, right? You have to kind of work with them and you have to basically provide your perspective. They provide their perspective and you see if you can make it something that's really exciting. And the biggest benefit of that is being in a transaction together. But I think we do try to find ways across the market to say, how can we differentiate and how can we help? And we're always trying to learn more. And if that means that we're having a conversation with someone in the industry that's a really interesting entrepreneur that's super thoughtful about the space, they're not willing to sell, we still want to have a conversation with them because we really feel like we might learn something from them and they might learn something from us.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on your background. It seems like you've been focused on private debt for the large majority of your career. I think we do have some similarity in our backgrounds in that we both spent a little bit of time at Lazard. But tell us about yourself.
Yeah, happy to. It's good to have another Lazard alumni in the room. So I started out at a small boutique restructuring shop. So my background is actually distressed, you know, within investment banking, doing restructuring advisory. Started out doing both company side advisory work as well as lender side advisory work. Also within that, I did operational enhancement projects or operational excellence projects. The first was at CDG Group, a small boutique restructuring shop down in New York, and was able to get a bunch of different flavors, really focused more on the middle market and got a lot of exposure to a variety of industries. From there, went over to Lazard in their restructuring group, did really the same thing. Maybe there was some larger companies that was able to focus on, but it was the same as the middle market, just had maybe a little bit more mid-cap as well as large-cap exposure. And that's where I started to realize who's really structuring these deals and who's putting the structure on these businesses. Because when you're in investment banking, sometimes you fall into the trap of this model looks okay and everything's going to work okay. But there's really so much of a story behind it. And I think when you start to peel back the layers deeply on a restructuring and you figure out the lessons learned of there's a lot of people behind this company. Companies do not like to lay off people. Mm-hmm. How do we actually accelerate growth? And right now we're going through a trying period of time. How do we hit the reset button, create the business more viable? And is it an income statement problem? Is it a balance sheet problem? Is it a problem with both the income statement and the balance sheet? And really understanding the ebbs and flow of that. And that's really why I started to look at and say, I want to be on the principal investing side. I just don't want to be on the advisory side. And I started to look at different principal investors. And I would say where I landed was, given my background in leveraged finance, given my background in restructuring, and the want and need to be able to say, I would like to structure these loans, because mm-hmm. I feel like if we structure them appropriately, a lot of these businesses can thrive and grow, that maybe we can have a lot of success. And that's what basically, I jumped from Lazard over to THL Credit. And that's where we started to do a lot of these loans on the, you know, the direct lending side. And the market has obviously taken off within direct lending and private credit in general. And there's been so much opportunity. So it's been fascinating to watch over the last, call it almost 12 years between both THL Credit and First Eagle. And that's really where I got the start. And I'd say trying to take those lessons learned and say, let's structure it right up front. Let's underwrite that story together with a private equity firm. Let's focus on making sure that the growth for both us and the private equity firm is strong. And a big part of that comes down to structure. You could have a really nice business. You could have an A-grade management team and you unfortunately put too much leverage on a business and then go through a couple of speed bumps and leverage remains elevated and you start to have to focus on operations. You have to focus on how do I potentially increase my free cash flow, and you may have to pull different levers. But if you structure it right up front and you're going through multiple periods of potential distress or stress like COVID, and you can still hit the accelerator, you can really grow through that. And I think that's what really got me excited, being able to see kind of those, I don't want to call it crime scenes, but, you know, going through those different periods of time at both CDG Group and Lazard, and really understanding the flavors of where you can pull levers within businesses was really exciting. And then being able to bring that over here now at First Eagle and being able to execute on those buy and build strategies and structuring those appropriately is really what is most exciting.
You know, we touched on the competitiveness in the private debt space a little bit, but would love to hear how you would differentiate for the sake of the management teams out there and alongside the private equity sponsors. But what do you think really differentiates First Eagle from the other providers out there?
I would say for the most part, it's our industry specialization. So we have industry specialization not only on our liquid side, but also on our direct lending side. And what we like to come to the table with is being experts within our industries. Historically, the alternative credit universe was growing. And I think when you look at really small shops, you can only have so much specialization because you are only so large. You only have so many bodies and you only have so many people. But as you grow into that multi-pronged asset manager, you really can start to put that infrastructure in place, which we've done over the past, call it 7+ years, and having that industry verticals where it's akin to having the same expertise, right? In many situations, we may see or transact on more flow than some of our partners, which is totally fine. And, you know, within healthcare, within tech, within business services, within financial services, we have deep expertise there on both sides of the table. So when you take someone that's had, you know, in certain cases, over 1,000 companies that you've financed, and you can look at all of the different things that have gone well, that haven't gone well, and all those different businesses, and be able to come to the table and say, this is our heat map, is what we like to call it. You know, it's really not, what do you like within healthcare? It's, healthcare is so broad. There's so many different subsectors you could focus on. Go subsector by subsector, because if you really get into the subsector theses and you go into those companies deal by deal below those subsectors, you can really start to tell, oh, these guys have transacted here and they know the space and I've worked with them before. They have speed and certainty to close. You start to get a lot of conviction working through that process, and it really helps the private equity on the front end differentiate to be able to win that deal. So I think just from our perspective is it's continuing to double down on industry specialization and making sure that we have our own narrative, right? In many situations, if a private equity firm reaches out and says, we're looking at this deal and it doesn't align with what we like, it's okay. Sometimes it's better to pass early than wait too long. Mm-hmm. And you really just need to understand that you have to have your own perspective. If you come to the table and you're trying to figure it out throughout the whole process and you really don't have your own value creation plan or your own investment thesis in that sector, you may end up falling down. And I think it's really important for us to differentiate based on industry expertise and couple that with our credit expertise.
Excellent. I know we're running up on time, but I have two final questions if you have a couple more minutes.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. One is, can you tell us about a person who has had a profound influence on you?
That's a hard question that I feel like every step of the way through my career, I've always had really good mentors that have helped guide me and have really helped building blocks. But I would have to say my dad. I think, you know, coming from the background, he's not in business, in engineering, and he always figured out finding a way to solve a problem. And I think when you go through, you know, our jobs on a day-to-day basis, problems always crop up, but it's a question of how do you come to that problem with a solution? And he always was fidgeting and figuring out ways to potentially fix things at the house or with a car. And, you know, I really learned early that there's always a solution. You just got to figure it out. And I think it's always come to the problem with a solution. Don't create more problems.
Excellent. Last question. Can you tell us about a charity, cause, or other endeavor that you're passionate about?
Yeah, one that's important to me is, so I went to Bentley University, my alma mater, which is more of, you know, when you go into investment banking, it's a non-target. And one of my friends who came over from Sierra Leone, he founded this group called Wall Street Bootcamp. And it really helps sophomores that are going through their undergraduate degree to figure out what did they want to do in their career. And a lot of folks, at least from Bentley, when I was there, it was really hard to get into investment banking. And I think the brand and pedigree has grown, given that it's a business-only institution and really has a core curriculum that sets you up for success, is one where we designed this program to walk the sophomores through every facet of investment banking and help them understand maybe pure investment banking isn't what you want. Maybe it's sales and trading, maybe it's research, but it gives them an opportunity early enough in their career to be able to adjust and kind of reflect on what they want to do and to say, I want to go into that in 2 years and be able to potentially set up their internship so they can have success at the end of that undergrad career and kind of transition into the more formal career.
Excellent. That's a good note to end on. Garrett, want to thank you again for taking the time. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Thanks, RJ. Appreciate you having me.